today is Freedom Sunday, which is the day that we, as the Church of Jesus, get to partner with other churches across the country in celebrating the fact that we get to and have the privilege of giving rescue and freedom to women, men, children across the world that are caught in slavery today. And so we've got such a treat for you today. Our guest today is a new friend named Vic. And Vic is an investigator with International Justice Mission, and he has personally led over several hundred different raids and rescue missions, freeing people caught in slavery today. And so we are so privileged to be able to welcome Vic with us today. But before we welcome Vic, I want to read a passage of scripture to you from Psalm, and we're going to, goes like this. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. And he catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. And he says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike in terror. We've got a great treat for you this morning. Would you give a big welcome to Vic this morning?
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for that. I am I'm so thankful to be here. And thank you for allowing me to be here and to share with you some of the story of God's work through my life and through the work of International Justice Mission. I'm really overjoyed to be here to share this morning. It means a lot to me. And I'd like to start off, though, by stating very clearly that I am not a pastor, nor am I a theologian. But I'm simply a follower of Christ and a practitioner of God's Word, trying my best to hear His voice and follow it. But I'm also an investigator, as was stated, with the largest anti-human trafficking organization in the world, International Justice Mission. I retired from a career in law enforcement here in California and have spent about 10 years now working with IJM in many different countries around the world. I've been working in this field the whole time of fighting the oppression that is called human trafficking. A short time ago, I've since cut back my time in the field, and I'm now striving to play a more supportive and kind of an advisory role, which is what has enabled me to be here today to share with you. This work of intervening on behalf of the poor and the oppressed is demanding and can often be dangerous. But as you can see, you will see and hear this morning, I hope you'll see and hear, that it is so worth it. It's worth every bit of effort we put into it. And I can tell you that once this kind of ministry gets into your heart, it never leaves. Well, this morning is about freedom and about rescue and about God's plan for bringing hope to those in darkness and oppression. This particular morning is what we at International Justice Mission call Freedom Sunday. And I'm very excited and encouraged to be here on this Freedom Sunday morning. You see, for us at IGM or for anyone who's ever been involved at some level with IGM, this particular day is a very special one for us. This is the one day out of the year, this one Sunday out of all the other 51 Sundays throughout the year, this one designated as Freedom Sunday, is one day that we do something a little different. Now, we fight for freedom and justice every day of the year. It's what we live for. It's what we breathe for. It's what we deeply believe that God has called us to. We believe that God's justice is to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And if you know anyone from IGM, then you know that this is something that we all are truly passionate about. Of course, God calls us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God every day of our lives. But we take this one Sunday, this one day a year, and we corporately commit to speaking to the global church, to sharing with people around the world God's heart, God's passion, and God's plan for justice in this world. The last time I checked, I think there are 12,000 churches this morning talking about justice and freedom. You see, as I read my Bible, and as I study it, and I try and learn about what God is telling me through it, I get a very clear picture that our God is a God of justice. And that he is passionate about justice in this world. And because he is passionate about justice, he's passionate about finding those who need it, those who are lost, those who are impoverished, oppressed, and enslaved, and about bringing them rescue and freedom and hope. In fact, this is the very reason that Jesus himself came to the earth to begin with, to save us from our own enslaved condition of this penalty of sin. I'd like to read a short section from Luke chapter 4. This is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. I'll read verses 14 through 19 in Luke 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, in this section, is announcing publicly the reason for his ministry. He's grabbing the microphone and he's stating, "This is who I am and this is what I'm about." Jesus declares himself to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament promise found in Isaiah 61. This good news that Jesus is here to proclaim includes freedom for prisoners. It includes giving sight to the blind. It includes setting the oppressed free. Jesus' ministry of good news was not simply to tell people of the good news of salvation, but it encompassed actual justice and freedom for the oppressed. The fulfillment of the promise found in Luke 4 is one that includes God's deliverance of the oppressed. That's what Jesus' ministry was all about. Jesus is announcing the good news to the poor, which is usually understood to be the spiritually poor. However, if you read throughout the entire book of Luke, and if we carefully examine the life of Jesus throughout all of the Gospels, then we would see him drawing near to those who are actually economically poor and vulnerable, as well as spiritually and socially poor. Today, poverty leaves billions of people without basic protection from the law. Slavery and violence would not be so widespread if it were not for the poverty that plagues so many areas of our world today. Jesus' declaration was that he had arrived. And this arrival ushered in a ministry that was focused to the marginalized and the poor in society. And because of that, any ministry to the poor must include addressing these issues of justice and freedom and rescue. Later on in Luke's gospel, near the end of Jesus' ministry, in his own words in Luke 19:10, he reaffirms this and says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And if we had time to take a closer look, we'd find that there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about justice and poverty. In Isaiah 61, it says, "For I, the Lord, love justice." That's our God. And in Isaiah 1:17, through this prophet Isaiah, God tells us to learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Now, these are pretty strong and clear directions from God to his people. Again, if we go back and look at Jesus' whole life when he came to earth in the first place, we would see that it truly was to seek and to save the lost, to rescue those in need. He came to bring light into the darkness of people's lives. He came to give his life and shed his blood so that others, you and I, so that we would have forgiveness of sins and an eternity of hope and joy with God, the creator of the universe. Amen. Then during the earthly ministry of Jesus, he said, I am the light of the world. And before his death on the cross, he looked to his disciples and all his followers and us, and he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. So we believe that one way we are to be light in this world is to proactively seek justice for those who are oppressed, enslaved, and are currently living under this heavy weight of violence and darkness and have no way out on their own. We believe that we have to be proactive, step out of our comfort zone to do this, simply because those who oppress and prey upon others, they nearly always start with the poor. And those who are seemingly hidden, out of the light, in the dark places, and often in other lands. So in order to bring justice to the oppressed, we have to first go and find them. This is difficult because the oppressors in this world, and there are many oppressors in this world, they like to keep the victims hidden. They like to keep them in darkness. They like to keep them away from the public so they remain inconsequential or irrelevant to our important lives. And sometimes, seemingly, they are somewhere far away in some foreign country on the other side of the planet. And that's why slavery and oppression are so closely connected to the poor. The poor have no voice because they are given no voice. Quite simply, the poor are easy targets, and nobody hears their cry. But we at IJM, together with your help, we look for them. We go into the dark areas. We go into the dangerous places. We go into the remote villages where police are hours away if they're available at all. We go on to the vast remote lakes where very young children are enslaved. And we go into the brothels that are often protected by gangs, organized crime, or armed thugs. And we find the lost. And we work with local authorities and countries around the world to get them out of this grip of oppressors so they can begin to see the light. And we stand beside them and we protect them and we fight for them. And we tell them no one's going to get you today. We do this so they can know that there is a God who loves them and that there are God's people in this world who care about them, who pray for them, who provide for their rescue. And when they see this, when they experience it, and when they know this, they begin to believe that the God that we worship and follow is real. For some of them, this is their first real understanding of freedom in their lives. And this gives them and others all around them a new hope. And so today, perhaps now more than ever, people in our world need hope. If you take a clear, objective look around the world at true injustice or lack of justice that exists in our world today, the kind of injustice that the Bible calls us to address, well, we may be astonished. And we would see the real, actual need for justice to be sought out and be established. The great need for hope to be given to those living in darkness. In fact, the need for us, for God's people, for the true church, to step up and live out our lives of truth and faith and justice has never been greater. Many of you have already heard of the statistics and these studies that illustrate the problem, that there are currently over 40 million people living in slavery or under the daily threats of violence in our modern world. Multiple studies show that there are more people in slavery today than any other time in recorded history. This minute, right now, human trafficking is now $150 billion a year business. And one in four victims of forced labor is a child. Like 8-year-old J&T shown here in this photo breaking rocks with a sledgehammer in 100-degree heat, with no shirt on and no shoes on. J&T was enslaved 5 years before this photo was taken, simply because her family had a $200 medical bill that they couldn't pay. So she and her entire family were sold into slavery. 5 years in that hole in the ground. According to the United Nations, there are 7.6 billion people living on the planet today, this minute. And another study shows that over 3 billion of them, nearly half the planet, are living in poverty. Other research shows that on a large scale, it's nearly always the poor who are massively victimized and oppressed and enslaved because they have no resources or abilities to fight it. Which, if you think about all of this today, it's harshly ironic and somewhat hard to believe because we live in a world where we have so much provision available to us. Not only that, but we have the greatest, most advanced technology this world has ever known. The technology that this generation has was considered science fiction when I was young, and when many of you were young too. Now I know you could say, yes, Vic, but every generation has the latest and best technology. But it's only been in the last few years that we, you and I, common everyday people, have been able to see, hear, and talk nearly instantaneously to anyone around the globe. The world in its entirety has never, ever before been so accessible, so available, while at the same time being in such need of help and rescue. Think about this. We now have the technology that allows us to communicate information so rapidly and efficiently to anyone, anywhere in the world in real time. As an example, I'll share with you one example. Several years ago, my son was in special operations in the Air Force. He was sent to Afghanistan. He was stationed there for several months. He did several tours of duty there in that country. While he was there one day, and I was at my home here in California, my iPhone rang. And it was a FaceTime request from him on the other side of the planet. So I answered it, and I was able to see him and talk with him in real time on the other side of the world. It was amazing. I was also a little tense, because as he talked, he crouched down behind a wall that had bullet holes in it, and I could hear yelling and noises from where he was at. But it was amazing, absolutely amazing, what technology allows us to do and what it could do. Events in our world happen, and within seconds, those events are communicated to millions of people everywhere else in the world. And not just printed information, but photos, videos, and even real-time events as it happens are on display for the entire world to see. With satellites and imagery, now anyone and everyone can see nearly every square inch of the planet. And this is truly amazing. What we could accomplish with all of this technology available to us. We also have such incredible wealth and resources, luxuries, like we've never experienced before. I don't want to offend anyone, but did you know that recent studies show that every single day in America, we consume 400 million cups of coffee? That's equivalent to 146 billion cups of coffee just in America that we drink. These studies show that the average cup of coffee in America is $2.62. We spend nearly $400 billion a year on coffee, just in America. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning coffee drinkers. I love coffee. I'm one of those people contributing to that statistic. I only tell it to illustrate and to put into proper perspective this world that we now live in. In 2016, people in the United States in 1 year spent over $73 billion on lottery tickets. A 1 in 302 million chance at getting rich, we spent $73 billion on. Likewise, we also have more free time available to us than ever before. At a recent TED Talk, a study was revealed that showed that in our world today, we spend 3 billion hours a week playing video games. Researchers have concluded that all of this, all of our advances in technology, have been the primary reason that all of this is possible. And it truly is amazing. But in this modern world, when we share these studies on slavery and oppression and poverty, it can be difficult to grasp and fully believe. Hearing these numbers on modern-day slavery can seem so much like, well, like just more depressing news in an already over-communicated world of more bad news. And I'll be honest with you. before I came to IGM and saw what I saw and literally came face to face with these victims, those were just numbers and statistics to me as well. Then I retired from police work and went to work for IJM. I retired from drug enforcement at the end of 1 month, and at the very beginning of the next month, my wife and I moved to Kolkata, India. From the possibility of retiring in comfort and playing golf regularly with my friends, which is what I thought my ministry should be, but from that to living in the then communist-controlled city of Kolkata. Kolkata is a city of 20 million people, massive poverty everywhere, entire families literally living on the sidewalk. And Kolkata has a thriving sex trade. It has one of the largest red light areas in the entire world. This is a place called Sanagachi. These are some of the covert videos and photos that I took when I got there. It's a street that's only about 500 meters long. But there are 6 to 10,000 young women and girls held there in the sex trade. So when I got there, all those numbers and statistics that I'd heard, they became very real to me. In this very short period of time, God began to change me. He began to work on my heart and change my heart. And this was no longer a problem of statistics or numbers that I tried to get my head around. For me, this was now a problem that I couldn't not do anything about. Because every single one of those numbers, every single statistic, has a name. It has a face and a story and a life. And many truly are children. Children like J&T, whom I've already mentioned, who was sold into slave labor. But also children like Sadhna, who was forced into a different kind of slavery. As a child living in the countryside of India, Sadhna was full of energy, full of adventure. She liked to fish and climb trees, to pick mangoes and coconuts. When Sadhna was just 11 years old, though, her father died suddenly. And she was expected to start contributing to the family. After her father's death, her family moved to this massive city of Kolkata to look for work. Now, Kolkata is geographically also a large and confusing city with thousands of different neighborhoods, many different cultures, and even several different languages in that one city. Kolkata is 5 times the population of Los Angeles and 1,000 times the population of Agora Hills. In that environment, at 14 years old, Sadhna was introduced to a woman in what appeared to be an ordinary neighborhood in Kolkata. She thought she would be helping out around the woman's house, but when she arrived, she was brought into a room full of strange men, beer bottles, and crushed cigarette packs. In her words, she states, "The lady told me not to worry, as I would get a nice job where I would be able to earn a lot of money." She remembers that she knew something was off. "I didn't like the atmosphere, and I asked them to let me leave. They told me to sit down and have a glass of water, and I don't remember anything after drinking that water." Sadhna woke up hours later on the floor, disoriented, naked, and afraid. Her clothes were strewn everywhere. In quick succession, she had learned that she had been raped. And that this apartment was operating as a private brothel, and that she was now their property. She began to cry. For 2 months, Sadhna and 2 or 3 other girls would be sold for sex several times a day in 3 tiny rooms in that evil darkness, hidden from anyone passing by that house. In her statement, she goes on to say, "I had lost all hope of getting out. I felt as if I had no hope left in life and had become a worthless human being." As an investigator, when you stand in the presence of that kind of oppression and hopelessness, it can be overwhelming. But you see, there are 2 sides to this. This is not just the announcement of widespread existence of evil and darkness. This morning is not simply a time to hear depressing statistics and stories on the depravity of man. There's another side to this story. I want you to know this, that in the middle of this darkness and despair, that our God is at work. And there is power in the name of Jesus. And he is inviting us, his church, his children, to be a part of this work. And when God's people, when his church chooses to be a part of the work of justice, light is brought into the darkness. And because of this, there's actually great joy to be found, lasting and eternal joy. In fact, in my opinion, it's perhaps the greatest joy there is in this life. I'll tell you, I've done a lot of hard things in my life, a lot of difficult things. I spent 6 years in the U.S. Marines, jumping out of helicopters, spent many years in undercover drug work. I've been in shootings and violent confrontations. I spent time in El Salvador, embedded with the police, combating violent gangs. But in all of my life experience, in all of it, fighting this slavery and oppression has been the hardest and most challenging work that I've ever been a part of. But here's the thing I want you to know. It's also given me the greatest joy there is in this life. I wouldn't trade it for anything this world has to offer. You couldn't offer me money or fame or fortune to trade for the joy of doing this work. When you're a part of this work, even a tiny small part, and you or your team or a team that you support go into this evil, into this battleground that the enemy occupies and controls, apparently, even though it's dangerous, even though it will cost you something, even though some people may even say it's too far away and it's not worth it. But when you choose to follow God and you go into this work anyway, God actually does the hard lifting and the miraculous happens and people are saved. What Sadhana didn't know in that dark, depressing nightmare that she was living was that IGM investigators had found her and were working with police to get her out. One evening, Sadhana was with a customer in one of those tiny rooms when officers arrived at the house. Police and IGM staff had been working for weeks to investigate that brothel, and they were there that day to rescue Sadhana. And they did rescue her. Today, she's confident and vibrant, living in an aftercare home with a community of friends and a chance to chase her dreams. She's even spoken at trafficking awareness programs in communities across India. And now when she talks about her future, her resolve is serious. She now says, "My dream is to complete my education and get a job as a social worker, to hear the stories of other girls and help them." Amen. Friends, what IGM and the church are doing is life-saving. That's why your partnership with us is so important. Because at IGM, we've developed this unique model that, at its simplest, continues this biblical narrative of standing up to the powerful for the sake of the vulnerable. But we can only do this work if the church makes it an issue that they care about, that they are involved in, and that they are a part of, which is what Freedom Sunday is really all about. Back for just a minute to the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 9:2, during another very troubling time in history, and in response to the prophet Isaiah just announcing the future birth of the Messiah, the Savior, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." People today, people like Sadhana and J&T and so many others, they need this light of hope. And you and I, we may be the only light that they ever see. When that photo was taken of 8-year-old J&T breaking rocks, after 5 years of literally living in that hole in the ground, that photo was of her last day of slavery. IGM and local police rescued her and her entire family that same day. Now, I could literally tell you hundreds more stories just like that. They didn't give me all day to share. So I'll just close by saying this. We believe that every single slave in our world today is a real person with a name, a story, and a dream. Together we can send rescue. We can set them free. To do this work, to seek justice, it really only requires a couple of things. First, it requires a team. None of this is done by one person, or even by a few people. It requires support. It requires expertise in a wide variety of areas like law, psychology, administration, and investigations. Second, for those on the front lines, it requires the knowledge and comfort that God's people are in this arena together with them. It is truly amazing the difference it makes when you're out there in this environment and you know that there are others who are care and who are praying for you and supporting you, who are thinking of you. This has a very real and recognizable and profound effect on a team in the field and on those individuals on that team. And third and finally, this work requires the most important thing of all. It requires the occupation of a special place in the hearts of God's people. When you allow this work, this idea of freedom, this bold venture of wrenching lives free from the very hands of evil and helping to set captives free, when you let this pass your mind and into your heart, that's when we begin to see the impossible become possible and the miraculous happen. Because ultimately, it's God's power that does make it all happen. But I found that when God's people make this an issue of their hearts, they care, they respond, they pray, and they act. And God always honors that, and He allows us, His church, to be a part of the miraculous. Thank you for letting me share.